Greetings, listeners. Welcome to the WIP 12 podcast. My name is Raymond, and today I'm here with Persan.
Hello.
Hey, man. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. Gearing up to the next season of Mercenaries.
Yes, I guess you're going to talk about it, because I have joined season 10, but when is season 11 coming up?
Next week, so on the Sunday of October 8th.
Uh-huh.
And it should take 8 weeks to finish that one, so yes. Before Christmas.
Yeah, so I must say I thoroughly enjoyed season 10. I would say a great job on organizing it, and it's a ton of fun.
Glad to hear that. That was your first experience of Mercenaries, right?
Yeah. So I started out with a fresh group, and leveled them up, and I'm probably gonna use them for the next season because I'm hooked to what I've created.
Yeah, I usually reset my teams every season, but I had some that found a sweet spot at my heart, and I really want to return to them at some point.
Yeah. So, anything about season 10 that was changed with the seasons, and what will you change for season 11?
Well, season 10, we started experimenting with cooperation type missions with the containment. We ran two of those during the campaign, and I think it was a good addition.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed them.
It's something that you don't experience in Infinity. It obeys all standard Infinity rules.
Yeah.
And for next season, we are having also this containment mission, but we are also adding some more co-op missions, different ones like Monster Hunt. And we'll see how do they work.
Yeah, to give the listeners at home who didn't join season 10 a little bit of how it goes. So there's an objective room in the middle, and every round units rush out, and you and your opponent, who you cooperate with, have to stop them from reaching your deployment zone because they are running out impetuous. And we had a version with mostly like NA2 units, so the diggers and
There are various different levels of this mission, and we chose like two of them seemed to be similar to the value of most of the teams that would be at this stage.
Yeah.
But there are different, like we will be running a different opponents this time.
Yeah. So we had some, the second one was with the Toha units, which was awesome.
Yeah, and in season 11 we will be fighting antipodes and dogs.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, it's like it has a bit of a tower defense, zombie rush kind of feeling to it. And I thoroughly enjoyed it.
it's a change of pace. Yeah. And it's good to actually be able to work with who would be normally your opponent.
Yeah,
that's something different, and you might you should meet them at some point during the campaign, because I usually try to pair people with fresh players, the people that didn't play before. But those co-op missions allow me to actually pair you with somebody you will play later or you already played with before, so you can see how their teams develop. Like you have some grudges maybe to settle. Different experience.
Yeah, I found it fun, especially the first one where I didn't read the mission beforehand and I was so knackered because I was a bit busy during those times. And it was like, all right, I'm probably going to lose this game. And then it was, well, it's a co-op, and I read the mission. And I was, oh great. This is something I can do with the brain power that I have at this moment.
Yeah, that was a nice thing. So what was your run on the Mercenaries? Like, what was your team?
Yeah, I went over and just looked at what because you can combine two sectorials to form your own little team. And I looked around which sectorials were used and which were not used, and I made a short list of factions that weren't used, and found a combination. Yeah, and then looked in what kind of combination I would enjoy. So I found out that Caledonia wasn't used, so I used that as my main, and I saw Neoterra wasn't used, so I put that down as well. And I thought, well, that's a good combination, because that's the one part very close combat, very in your face, and the other part is very, very shooty and not that close combat based. So I thought, well, these two would strengthen each other. And then, then I had to, well, make a story that they would combine. So I actually looked into the history of Scottish mercenaries, found a name for them. So I found the Redshanks, who were an actual mercenary company, and then put Neoterra before it. And voila, I got the Neoterra Redshanks.
Nice. So you did actually some like cosplay and digging and creating the story.
Yeah.
Nice. The creative juices flowing.
Yeah, so these guys, the clan Redshanks, it's a little clan that isn't that very profitable, but they got into contact with some Pan-Oceania guys, and from dealing some tesium to turning into a fully sized combined mercenary force. That was the whole story behind it.
Nice. So how are your players, how are your troopers doing? Do you have any shining stars of your roster?
So first off, you start off with a spec ops that will be the lieutenant for the rest of the campaign. Mine is called Duncan Redshanks from the Redshanks clan, aka War Chest, and he's a Caledonian volunteer who I pimped up a bit. I gave him an extra point of Blisk skill, so Blisk skill 12, and an extra point of willpower, so that he had 13, and some mimetism, so that he could actually be a bit of a gunfighter in this mission, because you had 12 XP of spec ops to spend to pimp him up a bit.
So how did he end up?
He ended up, I bought for him heavy armor, so he turned into a 2-wound heavy infantry. I made him a doctor. I bought him an X-Visor. I bought him a Blitzen, so he could do a bit of immobilizing. And he ended up with a viral combi rifle, because I was able to go to the Artishock shop at one point. And I spent his XP mostly on the commander traits. So he had tactical advantage, commander, counter strategy, and coordinated leadership. So here turned out that he could at least reroll a lieutenant role at the start of the game, and use his lieutenant order as a regular order. And he could, with counter strategy, could stop some skills from my opponent. So I really went into the commander side with him. So not too shabby. He was a bit stronger. He still had his mimetism, but he has a viral combi rifle, so he wasn't. He could be very killy if need be. Then I started out to fill the rest of the list, because I had 90 points to spend. So I bought an SAS, because I thought, well, that could be a very good specialist. So the SAS Forward Observer. I called him Andy McNabb from the book series, aka Bookworm. And I think I rolled pretty spectacular for him.
Really?
Yeah. My first roll was a +2 willpower. Pretty handy for a specialist with 15. Then I rolled Hidden Deployment. So that's nice for an Ariadne unit. And the next roll was that I can have non-lethal +1 burst.
That's a weird one.
Yeah. So I went all overboard with him, and I bought him an adhesive launcher, because non-lethal, he could fire an extra shot. Para-close combat weapon, non-lethal, extra burst. A repeater.
That's nice.
And I made him an engineer, and I gave him a stim suit.
Yeah, Gizmo Kit also has plus one burst.
Yeah. So, yeah, he gets a better kit. He gets a better flash pulse. He gets a better... Yeah, it's a forward observer. So, yeah.
Nice.
He really got abroad. And the stim suit... What did the stim suit give him?
What was that? The physical? No, the stim suit is... one wound and NWI and still medium infantry.
Yeah.
So, and you get a decent bit of armor because that's armor and BTS 3. So that's an upgrade for a skirmisher, usually.
Yeah. So he got better in armor and BTS, and yeah, he could at least survive a bit. Because I found out that in the later stages of the game, you get tougher opponents. So a one wound.
Yeah.
Won't cut it.
So you went all aboard the utility XP table for him.
Nice. Yeah. And once he turned non-lethal plus one burst, I started to give him all sorts of equipment.
Nice. Like EM grenades is also nice. You can like throw on a high physical two grenades.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I could buy for him. And the Paraclus combat weapon was pretty handy because he's already a close combat beast. And then
you
with
can
two
para
hits.
And then, like, then discharge.
Yeah.
Nice.
And it also gives him a lot of XP in the coming because doing immobilizing and observing so he can gather a lot of XP with all his non-lethal stuff.
We will be changing a little bit about experience, but not that much in the next season.
All right,
just slightly.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't go without a dog warrior, so I brought
obviously
in Lassie Redshanks, aka GoFetch, my Cameronian, who I rolled mostly on his combat skills, and that made him dirty. The wolf is already a pretty nasty in close combat with a high CC and natural born warrior.
Mm-hmm.
But on top of that, he got CC attack -3. He got +5 CC, so he turned into a CC 28.
Nice.
And berserk. So yeah, it became a combat monster. CC 28 while you go down -3. So I also gave him a para close combat weapon just to go to -6 in total when you fight him. I gave him a jammer suit. So that was a fun one because I thought, well,
albedo?
Yeah, albedo. So for anything that has no MSV, you can throw the smoke. If it has MSV, well, in the first round, you don't see the wolf coming in. So
nice.
I found this very strong. And I put a repeater on his back. So, because he goes in close. So I thought, well, the upcoming hackers can really make good use.
A jammer suit should limit his armor, though, because it's light armor.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So that comes with a downside.
Yeah, but on the other hand, I thought, well, it's very handy.
Yeah.
I take a bit of an armor hit, but on the one thing, a wolf running over that you cannot hit, that's pretty nice.
Like a glimmering wolf. Nice.
Then I bought a Neoterra Bolt paramedic.
Neoterra, you got to have one.
Yeah, for sure, because it's solid with his marksmanship. And good PS.
Like actual proper gunfighter.
Yeah, actual proper gunfighter. I called him Danny Rojas for anyone who watches a certain show on television. Because it couldn't be a Ranchanks because that's Caledonian. So I started giving certain names to this one. And his call sign is Life. Because it's the paramedic.
Paramedic.
And but yeah, from his humble role as a paramedic, it's already a strong gunfighter, and it got even stronger because I rolled plus one ballistic skill, mimetism.
Twice.
mimetism minus three, and BS attack plus one damage. So nice. It ended up being a BS 15 gunfighter, and uh-huh. I put an HMG on him. Because, yeah, that's what you do with a BS 15 marksmanship.
Yeah.
I gave him an MSV 1. I turned him into an engineer, because then he can shoot gizmo kits and paramedic kits all at once. And I also gave him a stim suit to get some no wound incapitation, because he has immunity shock. It's a very solid combination.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this one turned out as my long-range specialist with some healing on the side.
Nice.
In my last game, he did like a long bomb shot, but even then, he just shoots on BS-12s.
Yeah.
Which is a nice way to shoot a
nice gunfighter. Yeah.
The next one that I bought was an because I'm yeah it's 90 points so
so who started on your initial roster?
On my initial roster, boss? It was the Duncan SES, it was the Cameronian, the Neo Terror Bolt, uh-huh. an CSU, and an Highlander Galwegian.
Okay, so yeah, so six guys in total.
Yeah, so. That rounded out on 90. So, my CSU, Rebecca Welton, a.k.a. Stocks. CSU rolled very well on the first metachemistry roll. So she got climbing plus and an 8-4 move.
Oh, nice.
Which is pretty solid. And it only turned better from that because I rolled forward deployment for her plus 8 inches. Hidden deployment and sixth sense plus sensor.
That's very utility.
Yeah, very utility. So I was able to roll for the O12 guns at one point. So I gave her a heavy riot stopper.
Oh yeah, hidden deployed riot stopper. Yeah. Nobody wants that.
No. I scared a few people by turning up and then hidden deployment gluing them. It was terrific. She turned out as my hacker. So I gave a hacking device and a tin bot firewall minus 6. Whip 12, oh, nice. Ate the best.
Whip power 12. Yeah, you had to do this. Like whip 12.
It's the best whip.
Of course.
And yeah, so yeah, hidden deployment hacker. That was, yeah, that's something I didn't want to pass up on. And I gave her a power suit so that she has so to hire her BTS and physique, which was very handy.
Oh,
so yeah, okay. she has whip 12, but she it's a minus 6 to hack and a BTS of 9, so pretty solid. And then the last one, that was Amish Redshanks, aka the Jacobite. He was my Galwegian. In the end, he was switched out for a unit that I bought along the way. But he was very handy, and I rolled CC attack minus 3 for him. And in the end, I also rolled that he had one extra wound. So a two wound Doggett chain rifle coming your way, which you also put a repeater and EM grenades on him. So physic 14, right. EM grenades to throw and repeater.
Yeah, so I see that you had rolled like plus one wound skill. So he starts with Doggett, right?
Yeah.
So plus one wound skill is like one third of a wound. So it goes in such a way that if you start with a one wound, then the first wound skill, you can get it from an armor or from the XP, gives you Dogged. The second one upgrades this to NWI. And then the third one, wound skill plus one, goes to a full wound. So, yeah.
So it's a like, one wound NWI.
I'm sure you had fun with him.
Oh, I didn't do that right. All right.
Yeah. That's fine. That's fine.
I changed up my list at the moment. It's NWI. All right.
Yeah, that would be bonkers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but you can combine it with the armor. So you can have like an armor that gives you like NWI on top of your normal wounds. And then if you roll plus one wound skill, then you upgrade this NWI to an extra wound.
Yeah. All right.
So who did you exchange him for?
Well, I saved up to buy an Aquila Guard FTO.
Oh, nice. And I see that he even out BS'd your bolt.
Yeah, he got nasty because it's Roy Kent, aka Swear Jar. And I rolled a plus one ballistic skill for him, so he turned up BS16 in the end.
Oh, nice.
BS attack one plus one burst, so he already had a multi-marksman rifle, four shots.
Nice.
The next roll was a BS attack shock. Not that spectacular, but yeah, you cannot have it all when you roll.
Yeah, you can have AP and shock.
Yeah.
Or Canelos Dos.
And, I was able to go to the Arty Show shop for him. So he has a viral sniper.
Oh, nice.
On his MSV3.
Yeah, plus one burst.
Yeah, so three viral shots. I bought him
the ultimate sit down.
Yeah. Gun. He got very deadly. I gave him a Blitzen. I gave him an AP heavy pistol, so he was dangerous at any range. An X-Visor. A killer hacking device. And by the end of it, I thought, well, what would be fun? I give him neurosynetics.
So he was not your active gun piece, but like you had to deal with this burst free viral sniper.
Yes.
And Blitzen. Oh, nice.
Yeah. So yeah, he just hang back and do three shots or four.
Yeah, because he starts with decent armor and two wounds. So yeah, that's the perfect armor for him. Yeah.
He was not easy to shift. You
nice,
had to deal with
nice.
Him.
Nice. So I see your team ended up actually higher renowned than the team I ran.
Yeah.
This season. So how were your games? How did you feel? Like, what was the feeling of like, without specifics, but you do you have any like stories or like?
Yeah, I could say that every game was there were just these weird moments. In every game, because you don't know how. Yeah, you know certain units from the regular game, but they end up pimped as well. So you're facing these crazy combinations. So I know that the first two games I was pretty lost in that my normal what I thought I knew about Infinity that had to go out of the window.
Yeah. You have to read the actual profiles.
Yeah, yeah. Because they have some tricks up their sleeve.
Yeah, but then again, everything is open information.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But
like not everything, but most of it.
Yeah, I've shot at units and I thought, well, now I've killed it. And it's like, no, I gave it the stim suit, so it is NWI. And I was like, oh, dang, I had to use shock for this one. Then it would have been dead. So those kind of things. Also, yeah, you're trying to get the mission, but you're also trying to get XP, and you get your XP by engineering, doctoring, immobilizing, doing FO stuff. So I had a few missions where I'm like, I can't win the mission, or I can't do anything much to my opponent, but I can score XP. So that was also a nice change of pace. that mm-hmm. were like, now, maybe it's better for me to spend an order so that my unit can teabag the other unit.
We are changing this name because that was people were not liking this name, actually.
Yeah, that's a nasty connotation.
But the skill stays.
Yeah.
The idea of the skill was just to reduce the lethality, because otherwise you just double tap everybody and there is no this extra rule in Mercenaries that you actually get to regen at the start of your turn.
Yeah.
Just plays less and less, because if you just down a very dangerous opponent, you just shoot him again. Get rid of him, and that's not something we wanted. So we wanted to introduce you a way of earning more XP if you just leave him on the table. I think that worked.
Yeah, for sure. Because it's extra points for yourself, and sometimes you just don't want to spend that many orders to go and kill. Because you just have to gamble
that they made regen.
Yeah, because mostly you're like with 4 units and then you get a tactical awareness order, or 6 units.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
it's pretty fast and you're out of orders pretty quick. So to just go in, shoot a unit and then shoot it again, that might end up with, now I'm not doing any objectives.
Yeah, I don't think we met in any of those missions.
No.
No, I think I steered clear of pairing you against me. not like maybe Nick next season, because I saw that you already joined.
Yeah, I'm fully in for this one, because
I still don't know what kind of team I want to run. The last time I ran Military Orders plus Cosmoflot, and they were just Angry Knights, so Templar Iratus. And I got a bear I always wanted, so I got like a killer hacker bear with BTS-9 and a repeater and EM grenades.
Yeah, you can really make the combinations.
And regen. And plus to physical. So he had physical 18 and regen. And regen in Mercenaries makes him roll on his normal physical. So, he wasn't dying at this point because he already had 3 wounds and dogged.
Yeah.
So he wasn't dying in the missions later.
You can really make the combinations of your dreams. Like the ones that I make gunfighters really got into. Yeah, if you can really go from a great profile like a new Terror Bolt and make it really scary.
Yeah, I'm a bit of jealous about your ballistic skill, because my knights, the top BS was 13 for my guys. Yeah, I never went above that. So you were a bit lucky on the rolls, and you also invested in the best panel BS. So I guess you paid for it.
Yeah, I paid for it. I paid for the ballistic skill. There were no way. I got into a situation at one game where my Aquila Guard got into close combat and he was like, help! Somebody! This thing is really, really scary in close combat.
Right.
Yeah, the whole regen thing was also something like, I made a unit unconscious. Well, that's fine. And then stage phase, it regens. What? Oh, no.
So, did you find any of the like rules or interactions confusing or different than you expected?
I must say that for every mission, I really had to. I read it. Some missions I read twice, and then when I got in with my opponent, it's like, how did you interpret that? Because some missions were pretty tough.
I think we started with pretty simple missions, but then they got played too well, I would say. So the people that were playing like in several seasons, they just knew how to play the game. So we wanted to experiment with some more co-op and other stuff, but yes, the missions I know are getting a bit out of hand.
But they're fun nonetheless. Once you understand the mission, They're really cool to do because yeah, it's really flavorful. I found every mission very flavorful to do so.
All right. Well, you can always like go to the Discord chat and like ask about how the mission works. Like,
yeah, yeah.
What do you do? Like, yeah. I think we had a little too little of these Discord conversations this season because everybody was on vacation and busy. But usually the Discord chats are the place to actually be there and brag about your team and ask questions and like throw challenges.
Yeah. Yeah. In the end, I did very well. Like the first missions, two missions I lost because I was I was not jiving really with what Mercenaries was all about. But once I got the hang of it, like the third mission was a cooperative mission. So I had a bit more fun with that and understanding where I wanted to go with my what I was buying for my units. And then because, yeah, I found out that, yeah, having weapons that immobilize or were very handy. So buying a Blitzen was worth it. So I really started looking at what other people were doing. Because, yeah, you have units that regenerate and come back or get extra wounds and get very tough. So it's very handy to knock someone out, especially when it gives you XP as well.
Yeah.
So you're not just killing. You're actually just want to get to a point because you don't have many orders to spend. That you just want to take something out, even if it's just for a while with a stun or anything. So you could at least be able to do these missions where you just don't click just an objective, but have to click an objective and then do a thing.
Yeah, do it in style.
Yeah, you have to do it in style. Oh man, I played the seventh mission was last launch, not the last launch as we can now know from the ITS-15, but actually with three ships on the table, and me and my opponent we got no ship from the ground, and it was just so much fun.
Yeah, because you can shoot them down, right?
And yeah, yeah. Mobilize
them.
He had a hidden Panzerfaust, so I thought, like, I can launch, click, and then got shot.
Nice. Dramatic.
Then we rolled the twist where the willpower was even lower, so it was even harder to start. Oh. Man, I have rolled at least 9 times a willpower check and just didn't get off the ground. But I was in such a defensive position that he wasn't able to reach the launch pad as well, so it was so we both ended up with not much XP, a draw, and we were like, oh man, we don't want to show up at the office at Monday because it's like, what were you doing over there?
For the next season, we are starting off with a cooperation mission and a new mission, Monster Hunt, and we'll be hunting a monster. It's a brand new mission. First, you have to search for sectors. You start on one DZ, on one side of the table, and the rest of the table is like the hunting ground, and you have to search for the monster, and the actual search builds the monster. So you reveal the stats of the monster, and then each game, the monster will be different. So you assemble a monster from like BS, willpower, and CC attributes, and it will be a different monster. And then you have to hunt it down. And the toughness of the monster, so the wounds it has, like it's tied to the value of your team. So it will be easier at the start. And in mission 7 we'll be playing this monster hunt again, and it will be a totally much tougher monster,
yeah,
because your team values will be much higher.
Well, but last mission you shot it, baby, now mama is out.
Now mama is back and angry. And then we will be on mission 3, we will also be running a co-op mission with containment with antipodes.
Yeah,
and then the rest of the missions are more standard missions where you have to like go and do stuff against the opposition.
Yeah.
But three missions of the 8 will be co-op, so even more than last time. We'll see how it will go. Rules-wise, we released a very gentle evolution of the rules. Now it's up to number 1.5, and it changes a little bit the way experience is gained by the units.
Mm-hmm.
So like the engineering, doctoring, medicating is now combined into one. So that it's a bit easier to keep track of, and also you cannot like spam if you have like a doctor engineer. Yes, you are not required to have all the skills to have max XP. Basically, it levels the field a little bit. And then we added a point for extra experience for gaining an injury. So if your trooper is dead at the end of the contract and he doesn't pass the physical role and gains an injury, mm-hmm. you actually are rewarded with extra XP, just speed up the teams that are actually gaining casualties.
Yeah.
Because that's like something that feels bad at some point, so we want to like level the field up a little bit.
Yeah, because Amish, he got a leg injury pretty quickly. Yeah, and it's not handy for a Galician to go 2-4.
Mm-hmm.
That ended him up that they at least then had to not put into a game, and then he was like, "Oh right, he's now not gaining with the rest of the group."
Yeah.
So he ended up on the sticking side out. Line. Yeah.
Yeah. And then next thing we changed slightly is the downtime. Because mm-hmm. downtime was like a lot of different roles. Yes, you chose like different tasks, but then you have to like keep track, like if you send like a unit with BTS-9 and BTS-6, and then they are rolling for like a target number versus BTS. So we just simplified it. So you just roll multiple dice and like you choose one stat for them, and that's it. So slightly simplified.
Yeah.
Just to reduce like the rolling that is of little consequence, mm-hmm. But still you have like this meaningful decision of where you want to go, like what do you want to do with your team after game.
Yeah, for sure, because it was a lot of rolls. It was very pretty fun to do so, but
now it's a bit less confusing, I think.
Yeah. Because especially some of the choices, I really needed to. I knew for sure that I needed to get it really explained. Because at some point it got really confusing. Like, how many dice do I roll and on which mm-hmm. blizzard? It was really flavorful, but it was also a bit of a. What am I doing now? Am I doing it correctly?
Yeah. We also found out that almost nobody used support stuff, which is something that you can buy and like it helps you like with healing and engineering, etc.
Yeah.
But like the doctor was fine, but like all the other stuff was not used. So we changed them a little bit. And for example, one that is available next season is therapist. So you buy him once, and then during each downtime, you may pick instead of like rolling on the task, you can just pick any therapist option. The therapist options are like retraining or like healing of your guys.
So
that might force that might actually allow different builds. We'll see how it works.
I was at some point a bit risk averse on that on rolling those.
We are also cooking something for later, like slightly different, like goal of like way of determining who wins the campaign. We are still now on like the total renown, but I think we are now basing it basically on all the RP earned, the renown earned, and not the one spent. You are basically rewarded for like XP and like being there. By the way you spend. So it doesn't really matter like if you for example, I know the example. So in previous situation, like the previous season, if you actually spend money to heal stuff, so heal your troopers, then this money would be lost from your renown. So basically, if you were fighting for the top spots, then you'll be just undermining your position by healing your troopers.
Yeah.
So we get rid of that. So it's not the actual items bought, but it's actually the renown earned. And yeah, we don't care where you spend it. More like it. So healing doesn't undermine your position anymore.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I have to just said that the missions were difficult, but to give a bit of an overview, what the things that I had to do. So on mission one, we had to immobilize each other because everything was non-lethal. All of the weapons were non-lethal. Mm-hmm. And in the meanwhile, we had to... this was called power puzzle, so we had to touch a button and then go to the middle and score that. In the end, I wasn't able to do it in the right order because I didn't got enough orders to actually score the middle. So I lost that one. The containment one was pretty fun. So that was the one
That was with the spawning troopers.
Spawning troopers. So we had to go up and stop troopers from coming over. And I did that with Arrow, so he could explain to me, well, it's best that we immobilize everything that comes out. Which helped massively in the end. And I used my units were mostly to like dive my wolf in to just try and be like a big bouncer and stop them while Arrow was immobilizing everybody. The third mission was also a versus mission with the Hollow. I found that really, really cool. I played that against Ray, where there's a Hollow presented, but it's a fighting Hollow. And you have to shoot it down.
Stun ammo, I think.
Yeah, it shoots stun ammo, but in the end, I rolled the twist that it got killy. Which lost me the game because it I thought my SAS could go and claim his unit, but take the hits in the meanwhile.
Oh no, and he died.
And then he died. So yeah, it was a pretty fun one because you could also teleport across the field through 5 teleporters that also teleported the Hollow. Really,
like when you put it like that, it sounds like some sort of like Mario game or something.
Mission 4, that was a battle royale.
It's all about like killing and resurrecting gaining stuff from panoplies.
Yeah, which really worked out because we did it.
It's a confusing mission, but like it's fun one. And also you can potentially like not die with many troopers.
Yeah, because you bring back troopers again, which I was able to do. With the secure data, that was a fun one because you put HVTs on the battlefield that you had to claim.
Yeah.
Had several, and it looked like I did well because they rolled towards me.
They are randomly, like slightly randomly placed, and they have like exclusion zone around them, and they have to go search their bodies for a vital pen drive with information.
Yeah,
and then you have to like carry them, and basically it's sort of like supplies, but. Yeah.
But first, you have to kill the guy that's carrying the supply.
Yeah.
Which was also a really fun mission. Mission 6, that was containment. So this was another co-op, but this time with Toha units.
They were difficult because at some point when I actually immobilized like the Ektros or something, and then I put one more wound on him with some tempeh, then he just spawned into this like light infantry guy, and he was no longer immobilized, and that was like so frustrating.
Yeah, we had the same situation where it's like, all right, now it's out. So
I don't have to care about him because he's like hacked and immobilized, and then like one random guy puts a template on him as well as some other guy, and then oh no, he lost the wound, he's now light infantry, no longer immobilized.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, and the mission 7 was the one where we had to go into the ships and launch away.
So the standoff with all the immobilizers and Panzerfaust hidden deployed.
Nobody left nowhere, so but it was a fun idea. And the last mission, that was Gladiators. So that was another fighty mission.
Yeah, I think it was changed from the last time I played it. I was a bit confused when I played it, but it played fine.
Yeah, you make one unit, the Gladiator, who you need to... Yeah, that was one also where I had to scratch your head, like, what are we trying to do? So everyone has immobilizing weapons, but or non-lethal weapons, but the Gladiator ain't, so...
Yeah. I think I had this game when I made my bear the Gladiator, and he went and then started to. He was about to start killing stuff, and then he got like stunned because non-lethal ammo is working versus totally immune in mercenaries, like a balance factor. And then I couldn't do anything. And then opponent's Gladiator, who was a camo, I think, Caliban, just went on the other flank and started like, because you get points only for killing with your Gladiators. So, and everybody else cannot like gain.
Yeah.
So he, the Gladiator, started like going after my stuff, and then I had to like move the bear like half the table around to hunt after this guy, and it was confusing. But it was like two Gladiators like running around and like either ignoring them each other or like going after the other just to prevent him from scoring.
Yeah. Yeah, I played against I Like Tacos, and he had like a fun list where he had two chasseurs who we put in S5 armor. So he had like two chunky chasseurs. Yeah, so yeah, there were the missions were specials. You sometimes had to read them over first, but yeah, you could do very fun stuff. And there, I would say they would not fly in an ITS setting, but they definitely fly well in this mercenary.
How did you feel like after the game was played? Did you feel like stressed as normally when you, I don't know, play in a league? There is certain level of like anxiety or stress when you go into this matchup, usually. Yeah. And for me, in mercenaries, there's like zero of that. Did you feel similarly, or did you feel too confused about the missions?
No, but because in the end, I could find out what to do, and half of the time you're already trying to get XP anyway. So there's a part of the game that stays the same in any round that you go, because you want your XP as well as getting the objectives. Because you can actually, without scoring the objectives, score a lot of XP in the meanwhile. You have to do these missions with like 4 to 6 guys. So it's on a smaller table than usual. By the end of it, I was like, there was less stress involved because there were less units involved. So you had to spend a bit more time on the mission, but less time on your army. So it evens out.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there is a bit more randomness because there are fewer guys on the table, so each role is more prone to being like randomly spiked into like good or bad, because like there are just fewer troopers on the table. So if one of your main guys gets stunned on the first order, then yes, that's it for this turn. But on the other hand, like you can have various weird combinations, and you have 4 turns to play the game. And you have regions and various stuff.
I like Tacos was the one that had the most bad luck against me, because he had this Mokhtar doctor who has a +3, and then he rolls 19s on helping a guy out of a stun state.
And there are twice. More command tokens. In mercenaries.
So like, this guy should do it on 18s. What do I roll? 19s. All right. Twice. So that's... especially in a game where you don't have that many orders, it
at least we don't have the possibility of the doctor killing the trooper.
Yeah, that's for sure a big up.
All right. So we have 8 teams already registered for the next season.
Mm-hmm.
We have some returning players and some new players I haven't seen before. So that's already an interesting development.
Yeah.
Last season, we were with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's 16 players.
Mm-hmm.
I think the most we had was either 16 or 18.
Yeah.
So that was a very healthy season.
Yeah.
A bit plagued by the summertime and dropouts near the end. This season 11, it's in the autumn.
Yeah.
So hopefully everybody is working and has more time to play.
Yeah, because it definitely are faster games than usual.
Yeah, like for most of my mercenary games on TTS. TTS usually takes a bit more time than normal Infinity. For a 300-point game in TTS, you are looking at like 2.5 to 3 hours to like set up and finish the game, usually.
At least, yeah.
And in mercenaries, it's like 1.5 hours, usually, maybe up to 2, but rarely so.
Yeah.
So I had games that lasted like an hour or an hour and a half, and that's for the most part, that's it. And then you have the downtime, but you could do the downtime in the Discord rolling dice.
So I've got to a point, especially with the summertime, that I had a bit of busy, so I put like 3 games in one weekend. And that was
amazing
and pretty doable, because you go fast with this, and it works well on TTS, because the system is made so that if you fill up into Excel, you can just copy paste the info on your model and you're good to go. So that worked pretty fine as well.
Yeah, it's a little bit of bookkeeping, but like the rosters are sort of semi-automized. They are automated a bit so that you basically, when you input your level ups on your troopers, it generates the TTS template for the troopers with all the code that you would normally use in the TTS to have like cursive and bold sections, and colors.
So anyone that joins in, any tips that I have is that check your opponent's profiles, because sometimes it has more armor than you think or more wounds than you think. Because you expect something, and then all of a sudden you have an S5 chunky chaser on your on your line.
Like my take on this is for all the new players is that the document we'll be using for the matchups has tabs under the pairings, and there is leaderboard, and in leaderboard every team has its roster linked, and you can view them before the game, so you can see what you are up against on the next game and just prepare. Okay, so I see this guy has a hidden deployed Panzerfaust. So that's so the existence of this trooper in the enemy's roster is an open information. The fact if they deploy it in your game or not, that's the hidden information.
Yeah.
But you still can like ask how many troopers they deploy and should be fine. Maybe not the hidden deployment. But yeah, so you can check all those things beforehand. You can engage in Discord, chat, to like talk about the missions, ask questions like how the hell do I play this mission?
Yeah, and it's just a lot of fun to build your dream team or your dream profile. Like, this unit sure needed some more Blitzing skill. Well, now you can.
Yeah. And like I can totally have my killer hacker bear.
or go a little lower and just have a hidden deployment SES. That's already pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. Ariadna with hidden deployment. Oh. Loved it.
I had a hidden deployed biker.
Oh.
Biker knight. I had a knight of Montesa who had hidden deployment and infiltration. But that was not as useful as I would say on the SAS because he was Impetus. So he couldn't hidden deploy. Like technically I could deploy him non-Impetus because of the biker, of the bike rule. But my sponsor made me deploy half my troops Impetus and had to choose like the Knight Montesa with the heavy machine gun or Knight Montesa with hidden deployment. Who do I want Impetus? Well, not hidden, not the heavy machine gun because he wants to have all the modifiers.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess, yeah. This is the one.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Well, Persson, I will join up with the next one.
Great.
And I would say to the listeners, join up too, because it's a ton of fun. And if you like a bit of a campaign side of the game, see your units grow by every game, and have some, well, complicated but very fun missions, then you should sure check out Mercenaries on the IGL Discord.
Yeah, please come on. And if you are a little bit late, like maybe up to a week after the start of the season, you can still like join and I can pair you up with some other stragglers. So no biggie.
All right. that's good to hear.
Yep. All right. See you in Mercenaries.
Yes. I will see you all next time.